Well, I'm sure he's not going to talk about basketball too much.
Not too much.
But I always enjoy when a teacher teaches, so please welcome Rob DeMattis.
Good evening. I'm on, right? Good. I wasn't going to mention anything about the game, but I'm a big Lady Vols fan from Tennessee, and Pat Summitt and Gina Auriemma, the two coaches, were buttered head to head more than once, and I'm always excited when UConn loses. I'll leave it at that. So it makes my whole day. But it was a good game. Got to watch the overtime on. Somebody sent us a link today. I was very, very excited about that. I want to start tonight. I want to share a testimony, and then we'll go into what I want to share tonight. I want to begin my message by saying that I'm glad to see March of 2017 go. I am. It was a very intense month for me. We had lost power not once, not twice, but three times during the month. We all endured the snowstorm. I had to deal with a leaky roof. But I want to share with you what God did with me through the month. When we had the first mini windstorm back early in the month, and we were one of the 10,000 plus that lost power, I didn't handle it very well. Let me leave it at that. I didn't handle it the way I should have. Okay? So when the second storm came through the week later, I would try to do better. Now, we got to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We had lost our phone at 1 o'clock that afternoon. And at 5 o'clock, wind started to die down. I said, I think we've made it. You know, the winds are dying down. We still have power. 5:30, off goes the power. I said, okay. So we decided that we have three daughters that live in town. Two of them had lost power. One was going with her mother-in-law. The other one stayed at her house. And we went out to Brockport with the only one that had power. And so every day I would come in from Brockport, check the house, try to keep the house as warm as I possibly could, and just keep an eye on things, you know. And there was nothing going on in the neighborhood. I mean, it looked like a war zone with all the trees down, everything, like many of you had seen in your own areas. And the house kept getting colder and colder. And I had a little propane heater, but that was only good for a little while. So Sunday morning I woke up. Now this was about 3.5 days into it. I woke up in the morning and I said to Barb, something's changed. We're going to get power today and I don't know how, but we're going to get power today. So I left about 11 o'clock, went home, went down to the house, and there were finally trucks on the street. I got kind of excited and I said, we're going to get power today? Nope, we're just the guys putting the poles in. Power guys will be coming in another day, but you ain't got a shot today. Okay. Went home after that, and I was exhausted. I mean, I was exhausted. That morning, I had written on Facebook, you know, without power, maybe we'll get power tomorrow night. So when I got home, I was sitting on the couch in my daughter's house. I was exhausted. This has been a really exhausting couple of days. And I opened up to Facebook, and there was a message for me. One of my former students that I had been very significant, I didn't lead her to the Lord, but very significant in her finding the Lord, sent me a message saying, we have a generator, would you like it? Well, I didn't say no. But we needed a special plug to back wire the house. And I was too tired to do it. And my son-in-law said, I'll go over. So I gave him some money, went over, put it together, and we went home. And by 8 o'clock, we had a generator running. And we started to get some heat back in the house. And that was pretty amazing. It really was. And I didn't know. Like I said, when I woke up that morning, I had no clue how we were going to get power. Absolutely no clue. But I knew in my spirit. And this had only happened once before in my life when I woke up like that. And I knew something had changed. So I'm really thankful to the Lord for what he did. Now, a week later, we lost power again because another tree went down in our neighborhood, but it's only for 3 hours, you know. So we didn't do bad. I think it was 150 hours of power without power for the whole month. It was you know, but I learned a lot this month. But I am going to give you a freebie that comes along with this, okay? When we got the generator, we just let the thing run till the furnace could run no more. They take time. They can only run for so long. The walls started to pop because they were cold. So if your house ever gets down to 40 degrees like our house did, you heat the house in increments of like 5 degrees because your rugs, your furniture, your walls, your ceiling are all cold. And you don't want to, and I was afraid I was going to lose the plaster, you know, in the ceiling, because you could, I mean, it was one huge pop. So the next day when we went back and we started the generator up, I just very slowly over a course of 4 hours got the heat up to 68 where I wanted it. But if that ever happens to you and you have a generator, it's just a little bit of information. You know, you don't want to have to pick up your walls later. So, you know. Now, I know you have your own testimonies, but that's what God did to me. And I'd have to really say, probably, I know I passed this test. Maybe not with an A+, but I was much better than the first time. So I'm thankful for God in the way that he uses me. So, there we go. That's my testimony. Now, I have to honestly say, I was thinking about, what can I do for April Fool's? You know, and I said, I can't do anything, you know. I could wear a green vest or whatever, something. But I want to share with you one story. This is a true story. The class of 1990 was the best class I ever taught. I loved all my kids, but there was something special about these kids. They were, and I got to teach both honors classes, and there was just something special about this group of kids. And my normal routine would, I'd be going in the morning, I'd open the classroom, you know, drop my coat, drop my books, walk down to the office and get the mail and stuff and come back and start class. And I had these kids first thing in the morning, first class. So I did this on April Fool's Day. And I have to say, I always hated teaching April Fool's Day. I did. It was just never fun. But so anyways, I went down to the office. And when I came back, what the kids had done, and these are the real smart kids, they had taken all the desks. And if you can go back into your high school, they made an XY axis. And they made the desks into hyperbola. And, I mean, these are the brainy kids, but there were something real special about these kids. I said, Mr. DeManus, is it all right if we leave them like this? I said, sure, go ahead. You know, what was I going to say? But it was just one of those kind of things, one of my fond memories of April Fool's Day. Well, all right. I have one more math joke. Do you know why the math book was sad? Because it was full of problems. All right, that's enough. We need to go on. All right. I'm going to call tonight, Chase Your Destiny. Okay? I'm going to call tonight, Chase Your Destiny. The journey of life is meant to be a quest for many things. As we grow, our quest will or could change. Our lives start out as children. We have a very good example here. Of someone who is interested in play and freedom. As we age, we learn about boundaries. We learn about right and wrong. We learn about being offended, forgiveness, and how to negotiate life. And some people are masters at negotiating life. They know how to play the system. They learn to be masters of their destiny. And they are always one step ahead of the crowd. These people are creative in an earthly way and often reinvent themselves more than once. It's funny, you're all wondering, where's he going? I can just see it in your face. In the kingdom of God, creativity, vision, and dreaming are important components. Okay? And I'm surprised at the number of people in and out of the church who don't realize God's destiny for their lives. For many, they've stopped running the race. They've stopped dreaming. And they go through life as if life was a maze and they are trying to avoid a dead end. Even though we're Christians, have any of you stopped dreaming? Have any of you stopped planning about your future and even our destiny? Instead, have we made our lives into living like a rodent in a laboratory? I want to start my message by doing something really different tonight. This whole message is different for me. But I want us to take a step back. I want you to put your Bibles aside for a minute. And I want you to close your eyes. I don't normally do this. Follow with me here tonight. And I want you to take a deep breath and exhale. I want you to ponder something for a minute tonight. I want you to ponder God's dream for your life. I don't want you to go down the road of where my life is right now. But I want you to imagine God writing the plan for your life in the book of life. I want you to imagine the joy on his face as he finishes. He looks at what he's written. He takes a step back and sees the beauty in what he has envisioned for you. Dwell there for a moment. Concentrate on the happiness in his heart. See in his eyes the love that he has for you. Like a painter, when he finishes a painting, as he steps back to look at the canvas, knowing he's satisfied, focus on the sense of fulfillment God has over what he has created. Can you believe that God feels that way about you? You are the joy of his heart. Believe that. Let the Holy Spirit, as your eyes are closed, fill you with peace. Let assurance overshadow you. Let confidence flood your whole being. Feel your sense of destiny. Now change your focus for a minute. Keep your eyes closed. What did God write about you? Maybe you can see it. Maybe you can't. But sense it. Sense that it's glorious. Sense that it's challenging. And sense that it's more than anything you could ever accomplish on your own. As I pondered, you can open your eyes now, as I pondered this entire picture, I've come to realize that climbing the ladder of success is not what I thought it was. But I've learned that now I'm to discover the depths of his heart, to long for his approval and not for the approval of men. And ultimately, my goal is to make a difference. It says in Romans chapter 2, verse 28, in describing a real Jew, it says, their praise is not from man, but from God. Now, I'm not normally a touchy-feely guy like this when I preach. This is just not who I am. But I felt I should start this way. I felt like it's important for a minute that you stop and think about what God has planned for you, what God wrote for you, and maybe you've even lost a little bit of touch with that. I wanted you to come back and think about that. As I mentioned earlier, creativity is a basic trait of the kingdom. Think about it. Creativity has given us the airplane, the light bulb, the telephone, the automobile, the computer, the TV, and even the small paperclip. God has built into all of us a need to think about the future. It's part of our nature. I challenge you this week, or this next couple days anyways, to keep tabs on your thought life and how much you think about the future. Now, you might not realize it, but when you do things like meal planning, shopping, what time I go to bed tonight, that's all thinking about the future. And God's built that into us so that we think about the future a lot in our lives, and we don't even realize it. In addition to creativity and dreaming and vision, each of us need a sense of worth and value. Healthy self-esteem is tied to the belief that I have a purpose. Miles Monroe said, "The greatest tragedy of life is not death, but a life that fails to fulfill its purpose." William Wallace, in the movie Braveheart, says, "Every man dies, but not every man really lives." For me, my daily prayer is that my children and grandchildren will live according to Ephesians 2:10, that they will know their identity as being made in the image of Christ, and that they are members of God's family. It's the cry of my heart. They need to know who they are. And I want my grandkids and kids to love life and live it to the fullest in God. Let me present another new thought here. We've talked about creativity. I've talked about identity. I want to talk for another minute, a little personal here. As we age, we have a tendency to shut down. We have a tendency to be satisfied with well enough. Personally, I find this the hardest battle that I face daily. There are days when I feel like all I want to do is sit on the rocking chair or go to the gym, and that's all. I can kid myself into thinking that everything is okay, but my passion will wane, and I will even start to stagnate. Now, I have a healthy self-image of myself. I like myself. But in moments like this, the battle, while subtle and quiet, is nevertheless ever present. And I know that it takes a great deal of mental energy, some days, just to get up and get going. And I've come to realize that this is really a strategy of the enemy to stop the kingdom of God from advancing in our lives and in our sphere of influence. And as I've been preparing for this message tonight, God has brought this clearly into focus. I really probably wouldn't have seen it until I actually started to put this together tonight, for tonight. And I think this week he has actually shown me one of the causes why I'm in this battle. Our it's like sometimes I feel like we're decorating our homes, and that makes us feel very productive. But yet we miss the purpose for which we were born. I don't know if you can identify with, but I'm feeling like this is what where I'm at right now. Let me put it another way. Activity and hard work don't necessarily guarantee success. Busyness doesn't necessarily guarantee progress. And even being one with perseverance does not mean you'll get to your goal. I suspect that most of us at some point or other have seen the video of Susan Boyle trying out for the British version of American Idol. No one gave that woman a chance. People thought she was a joke. But now she's a household name because she dared to take a risk and didn't settle for the status quo or well enough. She had confidence in her God-given abilities to walk on that stage, and voila, look what happened. When people do not have a vision for their future, they are unteachable. When one is pursuing their destiny, one is always looking for new and fresh ideas, and they realize that they need other people. People who don't pursue their destiny can easily be loners. I want to share with you, through looking at Caleb, some principles tonight about pursuing your destiny. Principle number one. God is in charge of your future. And if you will let him, and our role in that is to cooperate with him. We are not in charge of finding our future. We are not on a journey and taking Jesus along with us. It doesn't work that way. In Numbers 13, Caleb said that after spying the land out, he said, God will help us. We will overcome. He wasn't ashamed, and he became very bold. Principle number two. There are risks in moving forward. You can't get into your future if you need the comfort of the familiar or the security of the known. I'm not saying to be reckless, but I am saying that many times you may be led into the unknown. And failure is even a temporary, notice the word, temporary option. How many times did Edison fail to make a light bulb before he actually invented one? Failure is a learning process. Principle number three. Whether or not you take a risk, or how big the giant is that you face, will determine the value of your vision. Remember, Caleb had spied out the promised land 40 years earlier and decided that he wanted the mountain with the giants. He envisioned it. And he renamed it Hebron, friendship with God. And remember, Jesus said, count the cost. Point number four. There is no giant big enough to keep us from our God-given destiny. Caleb knew that, and he knew that together with God, he was well able. He and God were sufficient. Point number five. Your vision of your future is not just for yourself. Others will and are depending on its fulfillment. We talk a lot about the next generation. We talk about these kids walking into what God has for us. But their doing that depends a lot on our doing what we need to do in our lives so they can do what they're called to do. So when you chase your vision, understand it's not just for you. Someone else is coming after you.
Yes, that's right.
Last principle, principle number six. There probably is no greater test of faith than death to a vision. We have heard people talk about this as part of the process. God may very well kill your vision to test you before he allows you to see it fulfilled. Deuteronomy talks over and over again when God, through Moses, said, he tested you and humbled you to see if you could really go forward. You know, we can be so emotionally tied to our destiny and to our future and our dreams that we can obsess over them and do things that we normally wouldn't do. We can easily forget that we are stewards and not the owners of our destiny. So there are six things I said tonight. I'm going to go over them all. Principle number one. God is in charge of your future. Our job is to cooperate with him. Number two. There are always risks in moving forward. Number three. The size of your giant and the risk you take determines the value of your vision. Number four. There is no giant big enough to keep you from your God-given destiny. Number five, your vision of your future is not just for yourself, it's for others. And number six, there is no greater test of faith than death to your vision. Let me bring this to a conclusion. I started tonight having you imagining God writing the vision for your life. I wanted you to stop and think about and realize the love God has for you. I wanted to leave you with the motivation to go, to get new energy for your future and to run after it tonight. Now, you may be feeling broken. Let me tell you a story. At the Royal Palace of Tehran in Iran, you can see the most beautiful mosaic in the world. The ceilings and walls flash like diamonds in multifaceted reflections. But to create this priceless work, the architect had to rob destruction of its power. Originally, when the palace was designed, the architect had ordered huge sheets of mirrors for the walls. But when they arrived, they found to their horror that the mirrors were shattered. The contractor threw them in the garbage, and he brought the sad news to the architect. Amazingly, the architect ordered all the broken pieces collected. He smashed them into tiny pieces, glued them together, and they became a mosaic of silvery, shining bits of glass. The architect of life has designed some wonderful dreams for you. If you're broken, through the brokenness, he wants to create a mosaic of his glory and present you to the world as a testimony of grace. Joseph kept dreaming in prison and ultimately reflected the mosaic of kingly wisdom and godly virtue. David kept dreaming even as an outcast living in the caves of Adullam, and eventually revealed what a man after God's heart looks like. My final word to you tonight is, go chase your destiny. It's all yours now.
Father, your word says that without vision, without prophetic revelation, your people perish. Father, here are your sons and daughters, the work of your hands. Lord, everyone you have written a book on in heaven. You have written your destiny, your vision for us. Full of wonder and awe and promises. Lord, before you knit us together, before you created the earth, you wrote the book with our name on it. Here are your sons and daughters. I ask that tonight you would open their book for them, that you would show each and every one of us, no matter our age, what you have written about us, filled with wonder and awe and love. And Lord, that you would increase in each of us your vision, that it becomes our vision. And Lord, that you would birth in us a passion to chase the vision that you have for us. That we would not meander through life looking for the river of your presence, but we would jump into the river of your presence and flow with you, full of life. Lord, tonight, reveal to each of us greater depths of vision, so that we will not just be walking through this life, but we, Lord, will be carriers of the abundant life, that we each will fulfill your call and destiny on our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that you do much more than we ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Rob. There are refreshments next door. Stay in fellowship. And before you lay down tonight, ask the Lord to show you his vision in your book in his throne room. Amen. I love you all. Have a blessed week.